John Lennon and the Beatles for you. Remember that song? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, May the 3rd already. Wow. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with an ex-Seattle police officer, a retired cop from Seattle. His name is Steve Pomper. He's written a book, The Obama Gang. We're going to talk to him about his feelings about the Obama administration contributing to the situation now with police and the mass exodus of police in major cities across the country, including Seattle, where he retired from. So stay tuned for that. And if it isn't hilarious enough that Vice President Kamala Harris is our border czar, now she is going to chair the National Space Council. Can you believe that? We are going to talk about this, some other things that Joe Biden is trying to get away with the proprietor of the barber pole, a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. And a Florida school principal has been caught on a cell phone paddling a six-year-old student. The mother took the cell phone shot. The mother is outraged. The question is whether corporal punishment should be allowed in school. We're going to talk about that as well. And then our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 largest religions in the world. We will see if Ed knows what's number one. Largest religions in the world. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in the world, in my opinion, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located, very fortunately, here in Tampa Bay in Dunedin, in the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580, Main Street, on Overcast Drive. Get over there, guys. Great haircut, low price, 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. By the way, I love Good Morning Clearwater. They precede my show. They build up my great audience. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Paul and Tracy Allen, let them start off your day. They're always a pleasure to listen to. Well, we got a lot of things going on. I can't wait to talk with Steve Pomper. This is good timing in a way. I mean, this is a bad story. More than 200 Seattle police officers have quit the force over the last year. 200! What's going on? It's not the only city that this is happening to. Are you surprised? Are you surprised that police are leaving? So we're going to talk with him in just a little bit of time. In the meantime, Biden is making all kinds of trouble, and apparently his tax hike, by the way, is $2.3 trillion spending proposal. He calls it an investment. I love it. We're going to invest. Why doesn't he use the real words? We're going to take this much money out of your wallets or borrow it. Rather than the word invest is such a nice word. It's like you've got the money already and you can do it. We don't have the money. Biden has pitched his $2.3 trillion spending proposal as a vital investment in the economy. But the tax hikes that would fund this could knock off close to 1 million jobs, according to the National Association of Manufacturers. 1 million jobs. Poof. They did a study. They say 1 million jobs would disappear within 2 years if Biden's proposed tax increases are approved. It says here, the study tells us quantitatively what manufacturers from coast to coast will tell you qualitatively. Increasing the tax burden on companies in the United States means fewer American jobs. That according to the NAM president, Jay Timmons. Now, the Treasury Department last week released details of the tax plan. It wants to try to raise $2.5 trillion over 15 years to finance this thing. See, of course, Biden will be gone by then, right? I mean, he'll probably be gone not only from the White House, he'll be gone. So he won't be around for this stuff. They call it the American Jobs Plan. They want to raise the corporate tax rate 7 points from 21 to 28%. Yeah, that'll improve businesses. That's just going to make businesses go offshore again. Remember how Trump, by reducing the tax rate, was trying to incentivize businesses to come back here? That's how you do it. You don't beat them with a stick and expect them to comply. It doesn't work that way. But anyway, he wants to raise the tax rate from 21 to 28%. He would impose a new minimum tax on global profits if he could get away with it. How are they going to do that? Global profits. And they want to crack down on companies that try to move their profits offshore. If you think you're going to stop businesses from cutting back and moving and all the other things, you're wrong. You're wrong. You don't beat people with a stick. You incentivize them so that they will continue to stay here and hire more people. That's the whole point. Boosting taxes on corporations, again, this is probably the National Association of Manufacturers statistics, says boosting taxes on corporations could shrink the gross domestic product by $117 billion in 2023 and $190 billion in 2026. Well, the gross domestic product will go down when you boost taxes on corporations. Okay, that study was conducted by Rice University economists. So I know these numbers, you know, let's be honest. These numbers usually are a little bit, biased towards the people that are running these studies. We all know that. But the truth is that if you ever try to squeeze somebody by taking more of their money, they'll figure out a way not to pay it. That's just common sense. Supposedly, these tax increases are going to fund massive investments in the nation's roads and bridges and transit systems. I think Biden doesn't he want to spend a boatload of money on Amtrak again? That'll be wonderful. Amtrak. The only time you ever hear about Amtrak is when they have some sort of derailment somewhere. I guess they're still running their trains. I wonder how many of them have that many people on them. But he wants to spend a lot of money on that. That seems to be a pet project of his in the Northeast. Oh, well, let us take our break. I cannot wait to talk with a retired Seattle police officer, Steve Pomper, about his book, The Obama Gang.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
We've moved, and we can't wait to celebrate. Full Contact Live Armored Jousting, Axe Throw, and Nightwing's Birds of Prey, the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekends now through May 23rd. Discount tickets at BayAreaRenFest.com. Bring your furry friends to the Bay Area Renaissance Festival this weekend for the Pirate and Pup Festival. Throw axes with your friends. Visit the petting zoo. Family fun for one and all. Weekends now through May 23rd. Discount tickets at BayAreaRenFest.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
on a Monday, and delighted to have with us Steve Pomper. He is an author, a retired Seattle police officer. He's come up with a book, The Obama Gang, which we're delighted to have him on and talk about. I want to mention, ahead of that, that, and he knows more about it than we do, but more than 200 Seattle police officers quit their jobs in this last year, among all these things that are going on. Now, Steve, you're somewhat prescient, if I might use that term. You wrote this book before a lot of this stuff occurred, and you worked in the Seattle Police Department. So I got to ask you before we talk a little bit more about your book, what is going on right now with these police forces in major cities and the way the city councils and all of these things are working? It seems like at cross purposes with them.
Well, good morning, Paul. Here's an anecdote right here that just starts that off perfectly. In Seattle, two city council members, when they were running for office in 2019, ran on hiring an additional 200 officers for the department. Fast forward to 2020 and George Floyd death, and suddenly they want to defund the police. And yet, over something that happened 2,000 miles away and had absolutely nothing to do with the Seattle Police Department. But you're seeing that, what you're talking about with all the major departments, they're just using that as an excuse to push their, socialist agenda, basically, their social justice agenda.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're thinking when those that are going to be hurt the most are the inner city people. Let's get to your book, The Obama Gang, because in your book, you talk about what you call the roots of the current war on law enforcement in cities across America. We are seeing that. I mean, when you were writing this, I don't know when you started writing it, but all of these things, I'm sure all of a sudden these things are just popping up. But you mentioned the Obama gang. What does the Obama administration have to do with all of this trouble?
Well, actually quite a bit. In 2014, he formed the Obama Foundation, and out of that came the My Brother's Keeper Alliance Pledge, or they sometimes call it the Reimagining Police Pledge. And what they do is they sign up mayors across the nation. So far, I understand they have 300, and 10, including 10 of the biggest cities. And they get them to pledge they'll review use of force policies, engage the public, meaning just get anecdotes from people in the public about police interactions, report back in 90 days, and then reform the use of force policies. There's nothing about if we find there's something wrong, go ahead and reform. It's just we're going to reform. There's a presumption of guilt. And they don't include the police in that process.
I mean, in Portland and in Seattle and in I think we were talking earlier, here on Tan Talk about the huge rise in crime in some of the major cities, including New York and in Chicago. And it just keeps going. I mean, we've always had trouble in inner cities and major cities. It's been going on for a long, long time. But it's getting worse. And now we've got police questioning themselves, can I put it that way? If they are called into the inner city to confront some sort of a dispute, I'm just afraid that they're so worried about what they should or should not do because of politics that someone's going to, that more people are going to be hurt.
Absolutely true. My book that I wrote before this one was called Depolicing America. And I just wanted people to understand from a cop's point of view, it isn't like we get together and we say, hey, let's go out and depolice today. What happens is they create policies and atmospheres where officers, they basically can't enforce laws because they know that if they get into some sort of, their call goes sideways and it's some kind of use of force, they know the department will not back them. And in fact, they'll come after them. And I should say, rather than department, would be the city that they work for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's one of the things that is that causes hesitation. Of course, with police work, hesitation means higher risk.
We're talking with Steve Pomper. He is an ex-Seattle police officer. He's retired. as well as being an author of a book called The Obama Gang, a comprehensive overview of the attempts to destroy American law enforcement. So are you saying, Steve, that it's like a socialistic mentality and plan to bring down police departments? It sounds very conspiratorial. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's the thing about the book. You know, I mean, it does sound conspiratorial, and that's one of the reasons the National Police Association asked me to write this book, is because they wanted people to understand that this isn't organic. You know, this isn't people getting off their couch and heading into the streets because George Floyd was killed. This is organized and well-funded by George Soros, and again, with Obama's pledge to coordinate getting this together, this anti-cop fervor. You know, the thing is, they will need the cops in order to enforce their socialist edicts. And that's one of the reasons I know I would have been on the department 10 years longer, at least. I'd be on right now still if it wasn't for the department and their social justice indoctrination. They're forced indoctrinating police officers as we speak. They've been doing it in Seattle for at least a decade. And, you know, that's what's forcing a lot of officers out the door.
Well, what is their goal? Chaos? I mean, what is it that they want? They want disruption in the neighborhoods? Yeah. What is it exactly?
They do. They say they want disruption. You know, I mean, you've got Marxist philosophies at the foundations of both Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and yeah, that's exactly what they want. If they can cause enough of a uprising or upheaval in society, yeah, then they can come in and kind of fill those gaps. I mean, you see the way that Black Lives Matter got so much legitimacy from the major corporations during this last year, and then Antifa just jumps on, becomes their brown shirts, and just, essentially gains some legitimacy that way off of what Black Lives Matter did. Mm-hmm. And they may be coming down in popularity now, but they sure got a good boost and a good economic boost while it lasted.
Yeah. Do you think things are going to be turning around the other way? I'm just wondering. People aren't stupid. They're watching all of this. I mean, even people in Minneapolis and Portland and Seattle and all these other places where there has been issues, demonstrations and the like, don't most people go, no, we want more police. We don't want less police. What are you doing, you know? I mean, isn't this going to be like some sort of a revolt against those that would defund and cut back on police?
I sure hope so. I know that in Seattle here recently, we had another case of a place called Chocolatey who wouldn't serve police officers who came in to get a box of chocolates or whatever they were doing. And the pushback from the social media against them was just amazing. I mean, it went the other way. They totally misjudged what their public support. You know, so that they ended up, in fact, the owner, after supporting the employee, decided he was suddenly shocked and dismayed by his employee's actions, and he arranged to apologize personally to the officers.
Yeah.
So I think maybe you're seeing some kind of turnaround there.
If I might, Steve, my buddy, my partner, Ed Davis, wants to ask you something.
Hey, Steve, being the fact that you're an ex-police officer, I was just wondering, what is the thinking of police officers say? We just had the incident in Minnesota where the city manager was fired because he asked for due process and was fired by the mayor. What is the thinking among police officers when you see something like that happening?
Well, every time they see that, then they understand that that's the city pushing against them, too. I know in our department, they have, or our city, they have no respect for officers' freedom of speech. I know back when I decided to write some articles critical of the indoctrination that the department was doing, I wrote them respectfully, but I ended up getting investigated by the department for over 7 months. And so to do that, they want to shut down that kind of, standing up for your rights or standing up for common sense, which is what that city manager did. I mean, how in what world is that not a common sense thing to say? And then shows you also that it's not conspiratorial to say that that side wants society to collapse the way it is so they can rebuild it in their image because, you know, they haven't done it yet, so socialism is going to work this time.
We're talking with Steve Pomper. He's a retired Seattle police officer. We're talking about both his book, The Obama Gang, and what's going on in our police departments in major cities. Now, Steve, was Adrian Diaz the police chief while you were still on the force?
No, no. Okay. I came on just before, Kathleen O'Toole.
Okay.
I left just before she came on.
All right.
So, I had John Diaz, a different Diaz. I'm not sure if they're related.
Okay.
But Carmen Best, when she came on, she was my sergeant back in the early 2000s.
Well, my point was, I wondered what his philosophy, Adrian Diaz's philosophy is. I mean, is he kind of stuck between the mayor and the city council and then his own police force? Do you know anything about him? He says that, you know, they've got a staffing crisis. He says that their department is at a record low. He says, I've got about 1,080 deployable officers, lowest I've seen in our department. I'm just wondering, you know, if you know anything about him at all.
I've met him a couple times on the department while he was coming up, and I don't know him very well. He worked at different precincts. It's a real tough position for him to be in.
Yeah,
in after, you know, Carmen Best was so popular, you know, it was very tough to come in. And I kind of saw him, and this is not an insult to him, but I kind of saw him as a placeholder that they need to just kind of hold off until they can decide, what are they going to defund? Are they going to abolish? Are they going to rearrange? Are they going to, you know, hire a new chief from some other city? So that's all I saw with him, and I don't envy him his position. He's under the thumb of the mayor and city council, and that's how it always is. Carmen's one of the few who could buck that, and when she couldn't anymore, she had to leave.
So they had that zone, did they not, in Seattle? And the police left it alone, and of course that whole thing turned into a fiasco. These social experiments that are going on, I mean, police must throw up their hands when they see all of this going on, you know. Well, we'll try to do this, or we're not going to, you know, we will no longer prosecute this or that. I mean, you know, if you what is the thing? If you stop preventing the small crimes, the large crimes start to increase, right?
That's so absolutely true, Paul. And you know, that was my precinct, the East Precinct, for over 20 years, so I know it very well. And it was heartbreaking to watch us surrender it. But you know, it was one of those situations again. The police department was ordered by the mayor to surrender it. They didn't want to do it. And there was no way it would have happened if they had opposed it. Because you saw when the police were finally allowed to come back weeks later and reclaim the precinct, it took maybe like half an hour. It didn't take long to do it because they're effective when they can come back and do it. But, you know, with the way the Seattle Police or Seattle City works, yeah, they're enforcing certain crimes only against certain people. And it's a mess. Officers don't even know, you know, what to do. They've been enforcing this law against driving while license suspended third degree according to social justice criteria for 10 years now. You know, wow. They check your race and your social and your ethnicity and your financial status before they even decide whether they're going to enforce this particular law against you.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be a policeman in a major city for, I don't know, $1 million with the way things are. I'm not kidding. I don't see how they're going to recruit good people until they get some common sense. Steve, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Let's tell everybody about your book, The Obama Gang. How do we get it? Is it in stores right now?
It is. It's at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you know, the usual locations. And you can also go to nationalpolice.org if you want to see some more information about supporting the police. And my stuff's also at Tatum Report and LifeZap.
Say those last two again. It's where?
The Tatum Report, Brandon Tatum.
Tatum, T-A-T-U-M, Tatum Report, yeah.
Yeah, and then LifeZet, Laura Ingram's.
Oh, okay. LifeZet. All right, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Congratulations on the book, Steve, and I hope we'll talk again down the road.
Thanks so much, Paul. It's been a pleasure.
Our pleasure. All right. Steve Popper, interesting man. Let us take our...
Hey, Paul, before we hit the break, I got major breaking news.
Yeah.
Governor DeSantis is in St. Pete right now. He's going to sign an executive order suspending all local COVID-19 orders.
Really?
Which means everything goes. You have the option. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you want to stay away 6 feet away, you can stay 6 feet away. Which now this opens the door for stadiums at full capacity and everything. So...
So he's saying no matter what local rules are across the
all
state,
yes.
You're on your own?
Yes.
Oh, very interesting. Wow.
And one person not present?
Who?
St. Petersburg mayor.
Well, I can see why. Wow, that's quite an interesting story. We're going to keep an eye on that.
It just says, signs bill limiting local orders will ban vaccine passports.
Yeah?
Okay, good.
That's very interesting. I mean, I wonder if a governor's rule can supersede that, say, of a mayor that says, well, here in St. Pete, we want you to wear a mask when you go in the
store. Well, obviously, because now all the bar owners are behind DeSantis standing there, like Mark Ferguson of Ferg's and other places, saying, thank you for lifting these orders. So there you go.
Wow. All right. We're going to take our break. We'll talk more about it on the other side when we have our buddy, the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday, May the 3rd. And now this should really put some confidence in our national space program. Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, the vice president, is now going to chair the National Space Council. Ed, I'll bet you if you gave a basic astronomy test to Kamala Harris, for instance, I bet you couldn't name the eight other planets in our solar system.
She's been looking for the border for what, 2 weeks now?
She can't find that.
How the hell is she going to find NASA?
That's right. That's right. Can you imagine her being in charge of it? Would you get into a space capsule if she had anything to do with it?
I can see her down there just saying, asking people, I'm looking for this guy named NASA. Have anybody seen him?
So we got Andrew, the master barber. Andrew, I know we would both like to send Kamala Harris to the moon, a one-way ticket. But what do you think about this now? She was our border czar, still is, God forbid. And now she's going to chair the National Space Council. What do you think?
I think she's doing a hell of a job, Paul.
So does Hillary.
That's what I'm saying. They're all the same. They're doing a great job. They got one hell of a resume. Everything they touch turns to poop.
Border czar means stay the hell away from it.
Can you imagine if Kamala Harris, God forbid, when we started our attempts to go to the moon, she had been running things back in the days of like JFK and stuff like that. We never would have gotten to the moon. Oh, my goodness.
I bet you at nighttime she'll point you to the Big Dipper.
Yes, indeed. I imagine so. Ed.
No.
Ed, you made an announcement, probably made it on the show before mine.
Yeah.
Did you know, Andrew, that Ed is going to get his COVID shot? Tell us about it.
I'm going to get my Johnson & Johnson COVID shot, good. One and done, and I got room for one more, Andrew. Come on.
Hey, there you go, Andrew. Get on board.
Not me. I'm gonna wait to see what happens with you, Ed. We're gonna monitor you for a year, and we're gonna see what happens. We're gonna watch your actions, your movements, everything.
Yeah, I gotta work with this guy. Should I be worried about it, Andrew? Do you think he's gonna start changing his personality?
Well, no. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna get it today, and probably by this time next week, I'm gonna need a haircut. So you'll be able to see in person if there's any drastic changes.
You know, you can strap him down in the chair.
His hair changed color, man. It's going to go from gray.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
He's going to defeat the aging system.
Yeah, you're going to grow hair out of your ears because Andrew does believe, right, Andrew, that's possibly it's a good thing for that. Anyway.
So Scott for Andrew.
So tell us, are you a little bit worried about it, Ed, going to get your shot?
No, I'm not worried about it, no.
Okay. Good.
He's lying.
No, I'm not.
No, I don't think he is.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Well, we're getting more and more people that are getting their shots.
I feel good because, you know, everybody that comes here will be safe. No, I mean, we're doing the best we can with wiping everything down.
We do.
But Tommy, the other board up, he's been vaccinated. I'll be vaccinated. So our control room will be fully vaccinated.
Yeah. I think it's great. I actually do.
Well, you'll have the safest radio station in town.
Yes, indeed. Now, did you hear that, speaking about all of that Governor DeSantis, Ed just talked about it, is lifting all the restrictions here in the state?
Thing?
Yeah.
About time.
Hey, Andrew, guess who's not down there?
Mayor Christman.
You betcha.
My favorite guy. Talk about a big piece of poop.
I wonder if he's told his assistant, Kevin King, to round up some protesters.
Of course.
All right, we'll see if they show up.
Of course he will. We should go there and watch him. Oh, I forget, you're getting a shot.
Yeah.
Indeed. Now, let's turn our attention for just a moment to the laughable attempt by the Biden administration at the border. Their chief of staff, Ron Klain, was running around on the talk shows yesterday, and he said that President Biden is not to blame for the surge unaccompanied minors. It's not his fault. It's Trump's, he said.
Of course. How long has he been gone now? January, February, March, April? Almost 5 months, and everything is still Trump's fault.
Yeah, you know that it's increased almost fourfold, the illegal crossings?
He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. He's inaugurating a lot of little Democrats.
I mean,
like I told you, if they thought they were going to vote Republican, the wall would be 100 feet high.
I guess you're right about that. I just wonder if they'll really vote Democratic once they get here. You know, Hispanics tend to be somewhat capitalistic.
It depends. It depends.
They're family-oriented, too.
Ones. You know what I'm saying? Your Cubans are all Republican. Your Puerto Ricans, they tend to go Democrat. Your Spaniards themselves, they can go either or. Most of them, I think, are Republican.
What about Mexicans?
Well, you know, I think they got to go Democrat.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's what he says. This is Ron Klain. I think he was on Fox News. Face the Nation. He says, people who are sending their kids unaccompanied, as young as 6, 7, with no adult, I don't think that is because of a speech Joe Biden gave. I think it's because of the horrible conditions in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Well,
we're taking care of that. We're sending them a bunch of money.
Exactly. We've been doing that for years. What good has that done? Yeah.
Giving them more.
I mean, those same conditions were going on when Trump was president, but instead of 120,000, he had like one quarter of that because he was building a wall. I'm wondering if Biden will finally get religion and realize that unless he wants a complete collapse of the Democrats next year, November, that he's going to have to finish that wall. What do you think?
I think he's giving too much money to the other countries. There's not going to be nothing left for the wall.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at he's sending Kamala. Where's she going? To Guatemala with $500 million?
I'd send her on a one-way ticket, but go ahead, yeah.
I mean, why aren't the Guatemalans doing their banana business? It's for the bananas growing in Guatemala. Why aren't they selling bananas to make money?
Maybe she can find out when she goes down there.
Paul, they're a disgrace, Paul. Let's face the facts. People are realizing what they're doing. 88% of the people aren't happy with the way the country is going. And they're going to defund the police. Give me a break.
We're talking with the proprietor of the Barber Poll. It's Mainstream America's most important poll, Andrew Ceresi.
Paul, I'm telling you, I really believe the policeman should walk off the job for 2 weeks. Let's see what this country does.
Well,
if you're going to do it, let's go for the gunter. Let's gusto. Let's prove one thing for once and for sure.
Well, we're already
off the job and see what happens.
We already are seeing them retire. We just had a guy on from an ex-Seattle policeman. 200 policemen have left the Seattle police force in the past year. 200. I mean, if that's going on in major cities, we already got that thing going on.
I'm surprised Seattle still has a police department, Paul. Those cops should have walked off the job a long time ago.
I think it's a scary situation. And we talked about what was the ultimate goal of these Democrats doing this to the police department. Is it to create chaos? Do they want chaos in their inner city communities? I don't think so. Are they just not thinking?
Before the election, Paul.
I'm sorry?
They promoted it before the election. Come on, look at the riot. They weren't riots. They were peaceful protests. Two major buildings burned down.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah, it's
a bunch of baloney, Paul. They're destroying this country, and they're letting it happen.
Now, in Texas, maybe it's a sign of things to come. There's going to be a runoff for a Republican seat. The guy actually apparently died of the virus. His wife ran, and in Texas, you have the top two. There was like a whole bunch of people on the ballot. The top two go into a runoff. Well, both of them will be Republicans. And they're saying that it is a sign, because it was an area that could have gone Democratic, they're saying this is a sign that the Republicans are going to do very well next year in the off-year elections.
They should, Paul. But like I say, look at everything that's going on. The country's in turmoil.
What is Joe Biden thinking? You know, he portrayed himself as a moderate all during his when he was running against Trump, and when he was running for the Democratic primary, he portrayed, "I'm not like the others." You know, he's worse than the others. He's more socialistic. He's less moderate than the others.
This guy's got dementia. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know where he is half the time. You see him eating his ice cream cone the other day with his mask on. Come on.
I was wondering,
vanilla ice cream on a black mask.
Yeah, and he was trying to stuff the vanilla ice cream ball into his mouth, and he still had the mask on.
I mean, can you believe the guy trying to eat an ice cream cone through a mask? What did that tell you?
And then he lost his mask. Did you see that tape where he's going up to the dais and he's ready to talk, and he can't find his mask.
He
can't find my mask. They had two or three people rushed. It was like he was having a heart attack. I can't find my mask.
He's a reflex.
The hell is going on?
They should try some of that CBD stuff with him. That might make him help out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it was Kamala. When he wasn't looking, she starts hiding
stole
things from him.
Yes.
Kamala stole his mask hoping he catches the COVID, huh?
Well, that, and it will increase his dementia because he'll start thinking that he's forgetting things.
I mean, look what she did to the steps to Air Force One, but that didn't work.
I heard she's putting axle grease on him now.
You ever see those old movies? I don't know.
How many presidents have walked up them staircases and not one of them? Fall down not once, not twice, but three times.
You ever seen these old movies where a guy's walking up a stairway and it turns into a slide?
Yeah.
Okay, collapsible steps.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been a hoot? About halfway, three quarters of the way up, it turned into
a slide.
You guys
are picking on Joe Biden too much.
I know.
Put the pick at a president like
that. We should not.
Well, we got to do it because if we don't, the people don't see it. They have blinders on.
Well, I tell you what, if we don't laugh at what he's doing, we're going to cry.
You're going to cry like you've never seen. Are you kidding me? And what's this he's trying to do with the bank? He's getting them to not finance any of the oil companies or anything, you know, to get rid of the fossil fuel. Did you hear that one?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. This thing with fossil fuel, as if they're going to be able to run anything with solar without having, oil and energy, ground oil and energy behind it. You're not going to be able to do that. It's so
Flintstone
stupid.
The Flintstone mobiles.
Yes.
We put our feet out and start pushing.
There you go.
Little pedal cars like the old days. You know.
That'll solve it.
Hey, I wonder what those big presidential limousines, what kind of fuel do those things run off of?
Exactly.
Run off of hot air, I imagine.
Well, hot air, and it's the hypocrite. You know, it's like Kerry getting into his Lear jet, going around the world talking about how we have to conserve. It's hypocritical.
About John Kerry, huh? He's been keeping company with the Iranians, and we don't hear that. He swears up and down he didn't do nothing.
Well, he never did anything worth anything.
No, but I'm talking about talking to the Iranians, letting them know what the Israelis are up to.
Remember when he claimed he was on a gunboat and he was sent to... remember when he was running for president? Remember all that? And some of the guys around him said, no, that never happened. Remember, he just made things up?
Yeah,
good old John Kerry.
Him and Hanoi Jane had an affair going on at that time.
They probably did.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I will hopefully talk with you tomorrow.
Paul, you have a good day, and Biden be in your dreams.
Oh, please. No nightmares. All right.
Have a good day, buddy.
Okay. There he goes, the master barber, Andrew Ceraci. Let us take our break. When we come back, a Florida school principal is caught on a cell phone tape paddling a six-year-old student. Can corporal punishment still be administered in school? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network, we come to you. If you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. Just go to our website, which is ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button. It's at the top. And you will see all of the shows in chronological order. Most recent at the top. Top 10 guest. Thanks, Ed. He always puts it on there for us. We always appreciate that. Okay. Well, I watched this little video. A Florida elementary school principal in Clewiston. Do you know where Clewiston is, Ed, by any chance? Clewiston, Florida.
It's in Florida.
Thank you. A Florida elementary school principal in Clewiston under investigation for whacking a six-year-old girl with a paddle in an incident captured on video by the student's mother. Okay? The head of the Central Elementary School in Clewiston was shown bending the child over and hitting her twice with one of those wooden paddles. It's like one of those flat...
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what it would look like. There was a...
Like a...
what is that kind of flat, you know, in sports?
Ping pong, only bigger?
It's not even that. It's bigger.
Okay.
It's bigger. It's got one of those long wood handles.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like a rectangular...
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Okay, that's what it is.
Oversized. Well, it looks like a spatula almost, only...
Yeah. I didn't think from watching it that those... And she didn't hit the little girl that hard. However, she did hit her twice. And the mother just said, the hatred with which this teacher hit my daughter. It was hatred. She was taken to the principal's office, this little girl, the six-year-old, because she had caused about $50 worth of damage to a computer. So the mother went to the school to pay the fee, but she was sent to the principal's office, where she found her child with the principal and a school clerk. She decided, noticing that she was planning on giving her a spanking, she took out her cell phone. She said she hid her phone in her purse, but recorded what she called brutal punishment. She said, "Nobody would have believed me. I sacrificed my daughter so all parents can realize what's happening." Okay, so we get the idea, right? So the question is, if a child of 6 or 7 or 8 years old does something wrong, should the teacher be allowed to administer corporal punishment? Now, years ago, we wouldn't have this discussion because they did. Now we do have the discussion. Ed, do you think that this was a good idea by the principal? Do you think that the mother was justified in complaining? What do you think?
I'm not sure. Let's see, 7 or 8, that would be still elementary school.
This is a six-year-old. It's first grade.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm not.
It's a little six-year-old girl.
Age, I think it's too young.
Okay.
To know the difference between, you know.
What you did?
Yeah. In high school, we got paddled. And let me tell you something. It wasn't by the 80-year-old office attendant. It was either the football coach or the gym coach. And he had a paddle that was aerodynamically designed with holes in it. And sometimes he would even get a running start.
Oh, God. Now, did you go to, was this being done in a public or private school?
Public.
Really?
Yes.
They allowed it?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
But I think in high school, I think it should be allowed. But I can tell you, these kids today would probably call the police right afterwards or whatever.
The girl on the tape doesn't get hit that hard with a paddle. It was more of a, setting an example kind of thing. However, she was a six-year-old girl, and I tend to agree with you.
I think at that age, you leave it up to the parents, yeah.
Okay. So,
I mean, an older kid can take a spanking of that.
But do you think that a teacher in a public school should be allowed? See, this is with the unions and everything. What do you think?
I think today you probably got to take it out because of everything that's going on.
I think so, too.
You know?
I think that'd be the last thing I'd want to do. I mean, I would almost be like, I might as well not come back to the school after.
Send them home, let the parents deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're not dealing with them at home. That's one of the problems.
No, that's their fault.
I know.
You know?
Okay. It is time for our top 10. And I want to see if you can come up with what's the number one largest religion, you know, with the most followers in the world, all right? So you got to listen to these, Ed. You can't go off and fall asleep.
No, I don't know.
Or go and take a couple of swigs. No, you got to listen. Stay on the drums.
I wish I had a couple of swigs.
Here we go. Top 10 largest religions, Wikipedia, by the way. Number 10, Judaism. Okay? 14.7 million people in the world. Number 9, Sikhism. And no, it's not a medical problem. Sikhism, the Sikhs. 26 million. Okay. Number 8. What's called African traditional religions. Now, I guess they...
You're part of that, aren't you?
No. For a while, I was.
Okay.
You know.
Kicked out?
I didn't like the cannibal part.
Okay.
I never liked the cannibal part. So they call it traditional African religions. 100 million.
Oh.
Okay. Number 7. Now, this is interesting. They group ethnic religions excluding, I don't know what they mean by this, I'll just say ethnic religions. Mm-hmm. I guess these are local religions. 300 million. Okay, number 6. Number 6 is Chinese traditional religion. 394 million people. Chinese traditional religion. Okay. Number 5. Buddhism. Now, Buddhism is also in China, Buddha, okay? I guess this is other than Chinese tradition. This is 506 million, Okay, number four. Hinduism. India. Hinduism, right? And listen to this. I thought Buddhism, 500. Hinduism, 1.2 billion people. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Number three. They have grouped those that don't believe in a god in this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So secular, non-religious, agnostic, and atheist. Okay. 1.193 billion. Which, by the way, represents over 15% of the world's population. It's very interesting, I think. Okay, now, Ed, I'm not going to name two and one because I want to see if you know. Because if you've been listening, you know that two major religions were not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see between the two, if you could guess which is the biggest.
I think... Go one ahead. Of them that's in there is probably Islam.
Right.
What's
the other one?
Christianity? Is that it?
Well, a little more specific.
Christianity.
What's the major religion in Christianity?
I don't know. Number two.
Okay. Well, number two is Islam.
Okay.
Islam. Mm-hmm. Number two is 1.9 billion people. I thought they might be number one. But you want to roll the drum for number one? Actually, I misspoke and you were right. Number one is Christianity.
Well, what do you mean we go through all that then?
I don't know.
Be more specific.
I thought it was...
Your paper's not specific.
Hey, I'm doing the best I can here. I thought it was going to be Catholic. That's why I was going to ask you. But it isn't. It's all Christianity. So all of the Protestant religions are included in this. And they are number one. And I guess even the Greek Orthodox would be Catholic. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be Christianity?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. 2.3, almost 2.4 billion people.
Oh, it's almost double.
It's 1.9 billion for Islam and 2.4 billion, yeah. I mean, that's half a billion more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Islam had more. Very interesting, I thought, anyway. And we appreciate you being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. But remember, always remember, that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kaifin. Coast Guard vessels still in the water off San Diego a day after a 40-foot boat capsized. Officials say four people died. It appears to be a case of human smuggling. Lieutenant